study. When you are studying a subject like that, you endeavor to be at par with what was taught last week. Now, besides just the fact that you have the notes that you will read, then to understand, then it does you much more good to have the tapes or the CD where you will listen to and then fully grab and understand where we have been to. Because just like every course of study, we've assumed that certain things have been heard and understood by you. And then we're approaching the subject from this point. So it says concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will have you know. Because we've seen that the word there is the things of the Spirit. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. It says, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now whenever you hear now, oftentimes in the Greek tense, you have an emphasis. That is something you need to view properly. It says now, there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. There are diversity of gifts but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations but the same Lord. And there are differences or dozens of operations, for it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, on a broader perspective, we'll call everything the things of the Spirit. But when you look at it, you know, in a closed group, you see again that it's discussing gifts. Because when you talk about there's no gifts, it starts with there are diversity of gifts, and then you have the same Spirit. Now, that word diversity is where you got the word diverse manners of sicknesses. Sickness is one compound word, but then there are different sicknesses under sickness. So it says the same Spirit. Now, it now goes to the next verse. It goes to the next verse. Readily you can think he talks about gifts in verse 4. There is a, he talks about missing in verse 5, but it's an ongoing thought pattern. There are diversity of gifts, the same Spirit, and there are diversity of administration of the gifts, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of operations of the administration of the gifts, but is the same God that worketh all in all. You should not try to begin to put it in verses. I think that the Spirit of God communicated these things in a verse or in verses. Rather, it was a thought broken down for easy reading in verses. So again, like I said, we can look at it from the gift perspective. The gifts are ministered and operate this way. Okay. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with us. So it shows you that the baseline is the manifestation of the Spirit. That is, the key thing here is that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit from. From there, we have the gifts of ministry, or ministry gifts. From there, the operations of ministry gifts. So, what we start with is the manifestation of the Spirit that has been given to every man born again now to profit from. So, it says to one is given by the Spirit. I've taught this before concerning spirituals. To one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge. Now, when you say to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, of course, oftentimes people again will begin to see that one as a person. No. That one is the gift. Is explaining the diversity of the gifts. So one is given. Actually, in the originals, is through one. Is given by the Spirit. Don't forget, he has just told you, the manifestation is given. to men. So it says through one is referring to the gifts of the Spirit by the Spirit. That's why it says given. Given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So that tells you that our thought is back to verse 4. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. Notice that's in italics. Plural. By the same Spirit or the same Spirit. To another, or through another, better still, the working of miracles. It says, through another, prophecy. Through another, design of spirits. Through another, kinds of tongues. Through another, the interpretation of tongues. But all this, worketh all this, worketh the one and the self-same Spirit. He used the word one twice. The one and the self-one Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, look at every man. Was used twice. The double mention of every man. Verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Verse 11. All this worketh the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That means in the manifestation of the Spirit, we have differences, dividing, distributions to every man severally as he will. Now, when you hear the word there are diversities, that implies that we have, you know, differences. This is not the same with this. Okay? So, in groupings of the 9 things discussed readily, we have said that there's prophecy, tongues, interpretation, which we can group by order of activity. Those ones deal with vocal things, to say something. Then we can say we have gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and gifts of faith. Those ones deal with power, ability. That is resident and display of ability, which is seen within nature. Now when you say gifts of the Spirit, I mean gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and the gift of faith, they deal with nature. The physical body, physical things. So we call them the gift of power. Now, the third group, which is where we have been studying for 2 weeks or thereabout, we read about the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirit. That word discerning means a perception of spirit. Obviously, those ones can be grouped together because knowledge tells you something. Prophecy is the telling of something. Tongues is the communication of something. Interpretation is interpretation of what was communicated. Or how it was communicated, pardon me. It doesn't say what was said. Tongues doesn't say what was said until what was said was interpreted, will be interpreted. Prophecy is a vehicle. So tongues, interpretation, and prophecy will be vehicle. Gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and gift of faith will be a display of energy in nature. But when you talk about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and Zen of Spirit, that is a communication, what was communicated. What was either seen or said or perceived. When you talk about knowledge, it means a fact was shown. Knowledge shows that a fact, there's a fact. Knowledge implies a fact, a set of facts were shown. When you say wisdom, wisdom means counsel. It could involve facts, it may not involve facts. But if counsel, you counsel at what should be done. Now when you say discerning of spirits, that is to perceive either by seeing, hearing, or by every element of perception, spirits. So we can readily group these three as revelation gifts. They reveal something. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, now don't ever lose sight of what we have been saying. There are diversities of gifts. And there are diversities of the ways those gifts are ministered. And in the ministry of the gifts, there are different operations. So we can look at the gift of healings. See it, number one, as gift of healing. A gift different from workings of miracles. Then we will now get to how that gift of healing. We will now see the different ways, and we'll get to how that gift of healing is ministered. We will now see different ways by which they are ministered. Now, we now move to, in the ministering of the gifts of healings, we will now see that when they are now being ministered to the sick, we have left the gift of healings in classification of the gift of healings, what it is. Okay? We have moved into how it is ministered. Now, so when you begin to look at then the operation, that is, whenever that gift is in operation, this is when it's in operation, this is what it does. One of the things you're going to see, when the gift of healing is in operation, you'll see that demons are cast out. That means they're looking at the operation, the working of the gifts of healing. So, readily, having seen that, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 now talks in a general term. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So, revelations of the Lord will mean different revelations. Visions. Now, we have already grouped three gifts of the Spirit under revelation. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. So here is Paul separating visions and revelation. The word visions means what you see. Vision is what you see. It's not what you think you saw. It's not what you said. It's not what you perceived. It's what you see. When you say television, you can't say, I heard the television. No, you have to see, just like when you go to see a movie. You see a movie. That is, your eyes are involved. Pictures are seen, images, symbols. But when you say revelations, you step beyond something you see. It goes into something you hear or have heard. Something you perceive generally will be revelation. So, Paul now says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. So it does a play of words. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one cut up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Now, when you hear third heaven, don't go far. There is heaven that we see readily above us. Now, there is heaven that is outside the earth sphere. There's heaven of the earth, where you have the clouds. There's heaven above the earth. The earth is one of many planets. And then there's heaven, a spiritual habitation. I know you have heard some doctrines of a heaven where Satan, a brother in Christ, seems to fellowship. I think I taught you that in demons. How Bible talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, but never speaks about heavens. Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6 and 12 never speaks about heaven. But people assume he's talking about in the heavens. And that's where Brother Ron Kinoli, well, is an old man, 67 years, came up and said, we're going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down. And Ali doesn't know that high places are on earth, referring to human authority. High places. If you leave the physical heavens and you go into the stellar heavens, next place you are going to land is an out-of-body experience totally. You are dead. There is no kingdom anywhere outside the kingdom of Christ in the heavens. Are we together now? Are we together? Alright. So when Paul is relating a story, and he says, caught up to the third heaven, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Repeat that, verse 3, verse 4. Now, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, it says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Let's follow Paul's doctrine so that we can understand in the body or out of the body. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, verse 1, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. So, he's referring to two buildings. This building of God, building eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be built upon with our house which is from heaven. But we shall not found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality should be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are confident, always confident, that while we are at home, we are in the body. Okay? We are absent from the Lord. We are in the body. We are absent from the Lord. Absent from the Lord. So, if you are home in the body, you are absent from where? Now, in the context, the physical, the building which is in heaven, that's what he's saying. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So, absence from the body refers to what? Huh? From the same writing of Paul, refers to what? Physical death. Right? Okay. So, 2 Corinthians 12. So, the physical body functions here. The heavenly body, tabernacle, is with the Lord. When this earthly house is dissolved, you go to the house which is in the heavens. So Paul is saying here that, are we together? Are we together here? Good. He says, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. Caught up. The word there in the Greek is the word to snatch away. Used particularly twice in the epistle, one in the epistle of Paul, one in Acts of the Apostles. Acts 8:39. Now you know about how Philip was taken by the Spirit and then go towards the south of the island. He went to the south of the place and then he saw the Ethiopian Enoch and he preached to him. The man got saved. Verse 39. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of God caught away Philip, and the Enoch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He caught him away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Verse 16, 4 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 17. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. So, we're having a complexity. Caught up is used there for leaving the earth, not dying. Are we together? Are we together now? Acts 8:39 used caught up also for leaving a physical location, but not dying. So, what will Paul have been referring to? Philip experienced being caught up, but Philip did not go to earth. That is being spoken of and promised in the epistle of Paul to be caught up, not by death. Because those that are dead in Christ will first of all, that's what Paul is saying, those who are dead in Christ, say we which are alive, it is that we will die, will be caught away. Same word. Snatched away, actually, the way it's said in the Greek. So the question is, what scenario was Paul referring to? Whether in the body or out of the body. We have seen that Philip's body was involved. And what happened to Philip, are we together here, was miraculous, was a supernatural experience. But whether in the body or out of the body, for Philip was obviously in the body. Because his body was involved. However, if we speak, that is, his body was not glorified. But if we speak of the second experience, which Paul spoke about the church, the body will be glorified. So that will be out of the body. Acts 8:39 will be in the body. And 1 Thessalonians 4:17 will be out of the body. Let me see your hand if you understand that. Do you understand what I just said? Okay. So, Paul's submission leaves us with Paul's seeming use of words here can be explained and excused. Because you have seen the same thing happen, you know, to Philip, and the only difference is that Philip did not go to heaven. And the rapture case, what we call the rapture, the only difference is that you know, people will now go to the heavens. And don't forget, Paul used the same thing, and he said, caught up to the third heaven. To, and I heard words that are not lawful for a man. So that means he went to physical, an inhabited place. So when he said, well, out of the body, or in the body, we cannot tell. And again, we have another instance of someone who left the earth with a physical body and came back with a physical body. Jesus. When he rose from the dead, Bible teaches us that Jesus met Mary Magdalene in John 20. He said, "Touch me not, but I go to my Father and your Father, my God and my, your God." And he went into heaven. Bible lets us know that he went into heaven to appear in the presence of God for us all. And then he came back to the earth. So he was caught up. Was he in the body or out of the body? You are not answering. Was he in the body or out of the body? You cannot tell too. Okay, but Jesus, so the physical body of Jesus was involved. That is, you couldn't look on the earth and see his physical body, okay? And he did not go to heaven dead. Neither was Philip caught up there, nor the church on earth caught up there. So the question will now be, was it in the body or out of the body? Well, I can reliably tell our dear Apostle Paul, it was in the body. Hallelujah. It was in the body. Seeing that the man returned to the earth, at least he could write it, and this letter was not written from heaven. Praise God. But then the scenario for us will be, what was he referring to? So we begin to, this is just a question for Bible students. It's not a theological submission. That, okay, this is where we are. I think 14 years, theologians or Bible scholar better still, let us see that the 14 years seem to be at par, you know, with the Acts 9 experience. But I disagree. Because after Acts 9, when this letter was written, for instance, and Paul talked about going to Jerusalem after 14 years, you cannot match those historical records. So we have an Acts 9 experience where on the road to Damascus, he had words which were lawful because he told us the words. He said exactly those words that Jesus said to him in Acts 9. Acts 27 readily lets us know what Jesus told him. Acts 26, pardon me. "Rise up and stand up." Now these are words lawful for a man to utter, because he uttered it, were written in the Bible, was even lawful for men to write. The closest encounter will then be Acts 27, we read from verse 14 to 18. You heard words that were lawful to be said and written. But the closest to it will be the Acts 14 experience. Acts 14 experience. This was the issue Paul had with John Mark Uranoff. Bible says, this is Paul and Barnabas, he healed a crippled man. Or Paul actually healed the crippled man. And then Paul and Barnabas were called Jupiter and Mercurius, because Paul was the chief speaker. And then Paul began to preach to them in verse 15 and all that. And then Bible says that they stoned Paul, verse 19, and drew him out of the city. Now you have to understand that. That I think if you throw somebody, if you stone someone, and then you assume he is dead. So they stoned Paul physically and put bruises on him and drew him out of the city. They took him out as a dead man. Verse 19, supposing he had been dead. Now, being as the disciples stood about around him, he rose up and came into the city. This appears to be the closest to what Paul was referring to. They took him for dead. Because as he was caught up, he still came with his physical body. That was the essence of out of the body or in the body, I cannot tell. Like I said, this is just our own thinking. I mean, we're just looking at it. Like, what experience would you have been describing here? He was taken for death, whether in the body or out of the body. That implies that it's likely something happened to Paul here. Because man is a spirit. While all the stoning was going on, the spirit of man is yet active. Not a man like Paul anyway. Yet active. Communicating things. And of course, in union with deity, he was not absent or unconscious. So that was why he could hear words. Look at a man like Stephen. When he was being stoned, the Bible says he opened his eyes and he saw Jesus standing at the right of God, and he said, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they do." So that means things were, as they were stoning him like this, something was happening to him. And you can see that Philip had a vision. That is the gift of the Spirit in operation. There was a revelation. Let me see how you're following what I'm saying here. So the question is, this is the closest example that we can readily see. Remember when I mentioned this some years back, several years back, I was so bold to say, I'm sure this is the experience. But I can't be that bold anymore. I've lost the boldness. I can only say, I assume, lest I'm adding a scripture to written scriptures. One thing is clear, you know, Philip's case is a little bit of something we should look at again. The same way the rapture will happen, Philip was caught up from one location to another, and his body was not glorified. Jesus had the same experience, the same encounter, where he vanished out of people's sight. Abu assumed that it was because he was a spirit. He said, no. He said, let me eat physical food. So Philip was an example out of the apostles that replicated what we saw Jesus do in John 20 and John 21. Are we together here now? Are we together? Because Jesus for 40 days abode with that same body and taught and preached men the gospel. So Acts 2:17. Shall come to pass the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So we said that visions are seen. You see visions. A sight to see. So when Paul says he heard things that are not lawful for a man to utter, I was caught up into the third heavens. Now, 2 Corinthians 12:2, 3, and 4 will be what? Would that be a vision? Talk to me. He said, I heard. He didn't say, I saw. That was why when it was done, he said, for the abundance of revelation. Now, we may not be too sure again, because he said into the third heavens. But it never included to see. That was why what he said after was revelation. In revelation, you will hear or see or hear and see. You can hear alone and it's a revelation. You can see alone and it's a revelation. Hearing and seeing will be revelation. But there will be, there will look at different types of revelation that exist. So whether you see it, you hear it, they are all grouped as what? Revelation. Whether you see it or hear it, we can only know by looking at which gift of the Spirit was in operation. If it was to perceive things, okay, we'll look at it. If there was a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, we begin to look at what exactly, you know, what was it? Sorry, but I forgot. I didn't say that properly. Which operation was present? Was something seen or heard? Or was it seen on earth? Then we'll know which operation was seen there. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, Why are we learning all this? 1 Corinthians 14. You know, it's good to know things. I was talking to somebody in my office and we're talking, and I could, she just looked at me. I said, it is assumed by so many Christians, because they refuse to see it, that Paul saw Jesus in Acts 9. Paul did not see Jesus. He heard words. I mean, something as simple as that can be carried into a religious... I won't bother... You know the point about religion? As you're in Acts 9, you just see Paul saw Jesus. And you don't check it. You just say, Paul saw Jesus, and Jesus told him. You know? Sorry, 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says here to us, verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, would they not say you are mad? If all prophesy, don't forget that speaking in tongues and interpretation, and there come in one that believes not, or unlearned, is convinced of all, is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, revealed. He didn't say how, just said revealed. A compound word now. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is over truth. And I told you last week that when he said the secrets of his heart, he didn't say his name. The secrets of his heart are made manifest. They are brought obviously to be known and seen. So Paul now says in 26, however, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a sound. Have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. So that means revelation can be present when we gather. That revelation we have seen will include word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. Of course, that incorporates visions when we come together. That means people in church, in a church meeting, can have the operation. People in church, when we come together like this, have access to the things of the Spirit so that they will see, hear, or perceive into the things of the Spirit generally. There is a secret of his heart. Now, when you read your Bible very well, the secrets of a man's heart are only known by God. So it takes you to the height of revelation. That what a man alone knows, which cannot be above God's knowledge, can be thus revealed, showing you the depth of power that is in operation when we come together. And Bible says that if anything be revealed in verse 30 to another that sits by, and talking about the prophets, let them speak two or by three, let another judge. Let it be revealed. Now, follow the thought. It says, the secret of the heart are made manifest, and it talks about revelation. That shows you that when the things are in operation like that, things can be revealed as intimate as this secret, the secret of a man's heart. So that Jeremiah said, look, he said, the thought of a man's heart, who can tell it? Only God can. So look at the depth of revelation that is available, you know, to us all. I was saying this today, and I, you know, watching a Christian movie, or a movie that had Christian things in my office. And, you know, as we're watching that movie, I told someone, I said, the truth of the matter is this. I said, I'm a culprit of what I'm going to say. I said, the 90s, some of us, you know, caught a hold of early 90s of revelation knowledge. And then we were, you know, as kind of things we were learning, that's of the new creation, redemption realities, you know, what we call the word of faith then. And, you know, we were so excited to hear about the anointing. And gradually, you know, we had a way to, that we, you know, we called those Christians that, you know, where we grew from, Casco, Casco people. There are two, you know, and we seem to, you know, put on such men. Look, I mean, you guys are just Casco and all that. I said, but now look at today. I said, in those days, you know, there are certain things Christians will do. A Christian will tell another believer, I said, look, the Lord minister to me to say this to you. And I can tell you, most of the time, you know, even without depth of knowledge, Christians will hear God. And they will come and tell you that, look, brother, there's something you have to check about this and this area of your life. I mean, it will just be like that. I said, but now, you have criticized the spirits of the casco and all that. We now have unbelievers in church. They will grow to be pastors because we've opened the gates. Anybody can come in and say he's a Christian. A man that has no contact with the Spirit of God is a Christian. See all sorts of behavioral patterns. That's what is this? When I was watching that movie, and this girl, lady, you know, she had gotten saved through this man. So she met him. And as they were greeting, he said, The man said something, he said, look. She said to him, he said, the spirit by which you spoke. He said, this does not look like the Spirit of God. The man said, I'm sorry. And I saw what he said. I said, today is a normal way of talking. What this fellow said. And when he was through, he was actually going about to go and do something evil. And then she just said, brother, she's a disciple. Said, brother, I sense something. That something is wrong about where you are going. The man began to lie. He said, no. He said, I'm just going to do something quickly. He said, he called him back and he said, as you were speaking again. He said, what came to me was Judas Iscariot. What I want to do quickly. The man was like, And this was a newcomer. I said, look, I was with my friend in the office. I said, this was Christianity when I met it. Today, even in world churches, people rather have word of knowledge to just bamboozle people in church. Somebody here, so that they will know you're a man of God. But nothing to really edify a fellow believer so that he will not err or go into error. And I said to myself, you know, and I said, right, I'm a culprit, we have to repent because we, in those days, you see, Christians will wear bandana, scarf and then long skirt and all that. We looked at that, they don't even have to do this. I mean, can dress this decently. And now those who are not born again and those who are born again but not really born again have come up with coarse dressing, you know, almost. I said, what is this? Well, you said they were not under the law now. You said that Christ has died and, you know, everything is free and all that. And even those who don't believe in Christ Jesus are saying they are Christians. A guy was saying something today, he said, Pan Kenshin, a Chinese legend. And he mentioned how Pan Kenshin came out from. And when I was reading that article, my friend said that is social studies. I said, I forgot it. So he said, God reveals himself to different people, he reveals himself to Pan Kenshin. I said, very soon, you quote Quran. Because the door is open, anybody can say anything. And gradually, even the things of the Spirit, which was held dearly. And I was saying this today. I said, some of the scandals we are hearing of in the church world today. I said, I'm not saying the church of days was perfect. But they were not common things. But when you open the door and anything can happen in church, Christians can do anything. I get away with it. Our eyes will see. Our ears will hear. Our mind will conceive even the things that nobody has ever seen before. That's by the way. So, look at this instance. Revelation should be part and parcel of Christian ministry. I in this sense is Revelation as touching the gifts of. Let us first of all handle visions. Visions. There are two types of vision that you can have. Don't forget, a vision is something you have to see. A vision is not an imagination. When you have a vision, you don't say, I sense, no, it is a store. And it's not, you know, you can have something in your mind. Sometimes you can say, some of you have misplaced the vision for, I saw in my spirit. And really, it's just a thought of your mind. Say, I saw something in my spirit now. And really, it's just a phantom vision. A cooked up sight and sound of the pseudo supernatural. In a vision, you will see something. There are two types. There is the open vision, and there is a closed vision. The closed vision is what we can readily call the trance. T-R-T-R-A-N-C-E. Lest you write, trance. The difference in the two types of vision is the level of participation of your physical senses. Where your physical senses are fully involved, it's usually called an open vision. Where your physical senses are not as involved, it's called the closed vision. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This one will be a test. I won't answer it. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It didn't say there came something like a sound. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. It is where we were seated. It's where they were seated. So it's probably likely he heard the account and documented it. So if that was the scenario, that means it's likely everybody heard the sound, or one person heard the sound and he told him. But there was a sound. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. So go home and find out, was this closed? Was it open? Acts 9. Read that last week. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, as he saw, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? He said, that word thou, Lord. So he heard. The Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Is that body to kick against the priest? He trembling, and so he said, Lord, what would you have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go unto a city. It shall be told thee what you must do. Now, without a doubt, this is not a vision. Are you agreed with me? That's silly. You are writing that this is not a vision, but it is clearly he saw light. It is a vision. I told you that last week. It is a vision, only that he saw light. You don't sense light. Do you sense light? Do you hear light? You see light. And then he heard a voice. So he heard a man's voice through the light, but he did not see the man. And the Bible tells us that his eyes were what? Closed. His eyes were closed. That his physical senses were suspended at this material point. Acts 9 again, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Now, would you call this an open vision or a closed one? And Jesus told him exact words. He said, that says, he lost to him in a vision. He said, behold, I'm here, Lord. So he spoke with Jesus, and then Jesus said to him, go and meet Saul, and he went his way and all that.
Acts 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea, verse 1, called Cornelius, centurion of the band, called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, The prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. The Lord with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, shall tell thee what you will do. And when the angel spoke, unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household, and then he declared those things. And now, the question would now be, were his senses suspended, or were they closed? That is, at the point where he was looking at the angel, is it possible for him to have seen a pillar in his house? Was that clearly stated? Let me give you an example of that. Luke chapter 1. You know, in this instance, Cornelius saw only the angel. In Ananias' case, he saw only Jesus. It says, in a vision. Now look at this. Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. This is talking about Zechariah. Luke chapter 1. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Can you imagine? He stood at the right side of the altar. So, you didn't see other things? Yes. Look at it in the case of Cornelius, I was about, okay, Saul, Cornelius. Now, if you observe Acts 2, it said, there came in a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. So, whosoever saw that wind, saw the house. I've answered the question. Saw clothing of fire, and it sat upon each of them. So, he saw each of them. Are we together now? In the other instances, you will see the angel and see Jesus. Paul saw the light. Didn't see any other thing. Acts 10 again. Peter. On the morrow, verse 9. As they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up upon the mount of the house to pray about the sixth hour. He came hungry, he would have eaten, but as he made ready, he fell into a trance. That takes it out of an open vision. He fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending to him, and he is in four corners and let down to the earth, and there were manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air, and there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him, saying the second time, What had God had cleansed, thou call not come. It happened three times in the verses of heaven. And Peter doubted himself what this vision, that he began to wonder in himself, what this vision which he had seen showed me. Behold, the men which were sent for Cornelius had made inquiry, and then the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men sit there. So, this is obviously a closed vision. It's a closed vision. That is, his senses were suspended. He saw symbols. In a closed vision, you will see symbols. Now let me ask a question. Now, because we said in an open vision, your senses are not suspended. You see things. I mean, that is, as you are seeing the things of the Spirit, you will see physical things. But in a closed vision,
you will not see physical things. If you had come to Peter at that point, and you had said, Peter, it's likely he will not hear you as he heard, except some folks who bear me and all that, you know. A girl like that you bear me some years back. So she was moving, you know, like a bush. So she ran towards me trying to give me a prophecy. I just dodged her. She just fell. Whoa! Almost started crying. Whether in the vision or out of the vision, I'm not sure. You know, but in this instance, you know, the physical senses will be seeing things, and then the spirit of the man will be seeing things. That will be an open vision. Now, let me ask a question. You know, we have seen instances, Acts 9, for instance. And then Paul's Acts 18, I believe. Verse 9. And spake the Lord to Paul in night by vision. Okay? That means he saw the Lord. He says, be afraid not, hold not your peace. Now, listen. Did Jesus appear to anyone? You observe that in all the appearance of Jesus, they were closed visions. And again, has Jesus ever physically appeared to anyone on earth? No. The Bible teaches us clearly that he has gone to heaven, he will only come back once. So the visions of Jesus, particularly the book of Revelation, just goes to show us what I've been saying since. They are not physical appearances of Jesus. Because Jesus cannot be seated in heaven and then he is on earth. That will be omnipresence, which he does not enjoy presently by the reason of redemption. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father, the man Christ Jesus, Hebrews 10 and 12. Ephesians 1, you know, 20 to 22, Ephesians 2, 6. He's the man at the right hand of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 26. So it tells you that. That will be omnipresent, and that's impossible for a man presently. So that is a vision. That is, an appearance was granted to him, a similitude of Jesus. That which symbolically speaks of Jesus. But really, what was going on in that vision was the gift of the Spirit. It was actually the Spirit of a man born again that was revealing things to him. So the appearance of Jesus was symbolical. Look at the entire book of Revelation. You will see in one place, Jesus will be seen as a lamb. Another place, he will be seen as somebody who wore metal, you know, gold, bronze and all that, showing you that they were the Spirit of Christ, let us see, the Spirit of Christ in John was revealing things to him. Jesus, by doctrine, by biblical teaching and information, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Let me see if that's clear. Let me see if that's clear to you. Good. So, all sorts of people that see Jesus today, some say there are nails in his hands, some say he's white, some say whatever. It depends on what you saw symbolically. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So Cornelius obviously saw a vision. Now I give you another example of an open vision. John 12, showed that last week, 28 to 29. Jesus in 28 said, Father, glorify thy name. Now people were there, a crowd of people, and there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. So you can see that their physical senses were involved. They heard things. It thundered. Oh, what happened? Who said something? Oh, it was a thunder that, you know, sounded out to the ears of people.
Look at another instance of an open vision. Acts 12. Peter's case is the clearest you can see. Peter was captured, okay, after James, the Lord's, the brother of John, was killed. So they took Peter and then they put him behind bars. The Bible says in verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. I mean, he stood by him, and the light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on his side. That's physical. And raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Now, is that an open vision? Open or closed? Good. And the angel said unto him, guard yourself and bind on thy sandals. I don't know whether I thought it was a brother in Christ that came to rescue him. And so he did. Says to him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. I mean, physical engagement. And he went out and followed him and wist not it was true that was done by angel. And he thought he saw a vision. Can you see this now? So, closed visions were referred to as a vision. It will be clear. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the third gate that leads into the city. So they passed different gates. They saw gates. They saw things. Which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on. Whether I thought he was watching Superman. These were not openness. Open to them. And threw on. And followed the angel departed from him. And the angel was... Then Peter came to himself. I said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angels, and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and all the expression of the people of the Jews. So, obviously, that was an open vision. He saw things. You will be seeing things like this. Your physical senses will not be suspended. But no soldier in the prison will have seen the angel. You will see the soldiers, you will see the angel, but they will see you, but won't see the angel. And in this instance, it's likely they didn't see both of them. And if they are seen, they will have shouted, what are you doing there? You'll have heard them. How did you remove the chains? You know, and so on and so forth. So let's begin to classify this vision. Open and closed vision. Now listen. A vision is the lowest type of revelation. Why? Because when a testament of the Spirit, a ministry of the Spirit, so a vision will be the lowest type of revelation. Now pay particular attention to this. I love to talk to people when they are intelligent with the scriptures. Which is lower? Open vision or closed vision? Why are you looking down? You look up now. You will see it in the Bible. Paul says open vision is... So why? Which is lower? A closed vision is lower than open vision. Why? You are carnal. Why? I said this. I said the visions will differ in the participation of the physical body. So for you, if somebody who has been taught scriptures, if which of the visions does your physical body participate the more? Now, in revelation to a Christian, what we call revelation. Okay, let's get there. Just wait. Since you already decided it's a closed vision. An open vision should be the lowest. Because your physical senses are so involved. Is the most carnal, quote and unquote, of a revelation. A close vision will follow after. I'll put you to test on what I call the tongues test. The tongues test. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. If any speaks in tongues, it says, no man understands him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaks to God. No man understands. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now look at 14, 1 Corinthians 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And the understanding is the link bridge between the man born again and the man that is not born again. That is a language that an unborn again man can also comprehend. In an open vision, an unborn again man can readily interpret what was going on. Oh, this happened. An unborn again man. According to this light, a carnal Christian. He says, my mind is unfruitful. Please observe this. So to the degree with which my mind needs to be taught, is the depth of revelation that I have. If my mind does not need to be taught, then that is a low form of communication. Look at Peter's instance. It was through a close vision. That vision needed scriptures and scriptures to understand. But in an open vision, it is the lowest form of communication to an unregenerate or a carnal man. The same way, laying of hands on the sick is the lowest form. That is, look, if nothing will work, this one will work. To the believer, to the man, you know, who is ill, who has to call the elders, it will work. In Mark 6, when Jesus got to that town, and he couldn't do any mighty work except that he laid hands on a few sick folk. So the tongues test will show me to what degree is my mind unfruitful. It needs to be taught. The intelligence and the wisdom of men is the degree that will classify revelation. Ephesians 1:17-21 is the highest type of revelation. Since I pray, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, pardon me, verse 17, Ephesians 1, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be what? Enlightened. You may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Look at that. Revelation knowledge is seen as a progressive nature where you will come to know. So your mind is learning. An open vision, your mind is at par with what is seen, because let me use this traditional terminology. God comes to, he comes so low. So when you talk about audible voice is the lowest type. And let me show you something. The thing about an open vision and vision generally is this. They are spectacular, but you and I know also that they can be duplicated. It's in the realm of the senses. when it comes to the leading of the Spirit, or direction from the leading of the Spirit, it cannot be duplicated, because the anointing that you have received of Him abides where? In you. I need not anyone to teach you again. That's revelation. Within. So to the degree that your senses are involved, this is the degree that we classify revelation. Let me see if you are following what I'm saying here. I can't see any hand. Are we together? Look at Agabus. Acts 11. Agabus gets up, speaks in tongues, interprets, and gives the revelation by utterance. Look at how Paul spoke about prophets. 1 Corinthians 14. By speaking. 1 Corinthians 14, 29, 30, and 31. By speaking. 1 Corinthians 14 again. 23, 25. By speaking. So revelation knowledge, revelation that is communicated by speaking, is higher, more precise, and it's available more among the church. Okay, don't let me say available more, but it's higher and rated higher than that which is seen either in a closed vision or an open vision. Whatever you wanted to see, okay, will have been said. It reveals by speaking. So in the church meeting, different flows can happen. You know why? Because we have different kinds of people. Just like we have tongues, interpretation, and prophecy in church, we'll have the different kinds of revelation prayers in church. Open and closed vision will be available at the same time in church. Revelation via utterance, I'm going to take on all this one after the other later. And revelation by the teaching of God's word. So which one is the highest? Eh? But you know, which one does the carnal man want the most? Do you know that? Look up. Look up now. When we teach like this, the eyes of your understanding are what? Eh? When you see a vision, the eyes of your understanding do what? They see. Are they enlightened? So whether it's a vision or teaching of God's word, revelation knowledge, everything still comes where? The eyes of what? Your understanding. So which one is highest? The teaching of God's word. It takes preeminence in revelation over divinely granted appearance or divinely granted audible voices. The book of Revelation, this is, now don't go and quote me, the book of Revelation is the lowest form of an epistle. A lot of people have said it's not an epistle. Well, I'll say the same thing. But let's agree, it's part of the books of the apostles. Is the lowest form. You cannot understand anything reading that book. You can, you'll be able to talk about, I don't know, you say, there was a horse, it was called death. There was a horse, it was called a this. There was this. Jesus said, I have keys. I am he that was dead and alive. He said this, and all that. And you want 24 elders. And he said 144, and all that. You still need to come back to where? The epistles to interpret what was written. So it's the lowest form of an epistle. Very simple. 1 Peter 1. How do I get something out of this? Are you sure? 1 Peter 1. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you, verse 10, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven with things angels as you look unto. Can you see Revelation now? By what? Preaching. Peter put credence on what? Preaching. 2 Peter 1. Peter says, look, we're on the mount with Jesus. Okay? And he says, he received from God. No, let me start from 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and were eyewitness of his majesty. This is described in Matthew 17, verse 1. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came from such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, this is Peter on board the gate. This is Peter that heard the voice, see what the devil will do and what God will do. And yet on that mountain, they saw Moses. Okay? They saw, now, do you think Moses came? They saw Elijah. They saw Jesus in white. And they said, Lord, there's no point going back. Let's have church here now. Let's have the Bible said for you, for Moses. It didn't even include them. For you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. So what would they be? Ushers. I said, that sight vanished before their eyes. They were on the mountain. They saw, as they were, they were sleeping, and John said, Peter, Peter, what's going on? He said, see. He said, James. He said, see. Was that open or closed? Huh? Oh, Dikwa, sorry. Open or closed? Sorry, open or closed. Oh. They saw white dress. They saw Moses. They saw Jesus. They saw mountain. They saw themselves. And they spoke with Jesus. Is that open or closed? Okay, whatever. So, they never understood what they saw, but their minds know what they saw. That's an open vision. Until they began to search the scriptures, and the highest type of revelation, where the eyes of your understanding are what? Enlightened. So this was their conclusion. And this voice says, and we receive from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved one, I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount, we also have a much sword of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto the light that shines in the darkness, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any presentation, prophecy came not the whole time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as the Holy Ghost. So, he puts revelation of the scriptures higher than what was seen and heard on the mount. Now, listen to me now. Everything has its place. For revelation is in levels. John was clear. These things I write unto you. 1 John 5, verse 13. That you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5, 20. The Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Understanding. James 1:21, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But if any be a hearer of the word, is likened unto a man that beholds himself in the mirror, and straightway goeth his way, forgetting the manner of man that he was. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the same man is blessed in his deed. So James is saying, revelation is by the word. The highest type. Now let's listen to the man I never spoke about. But I have two. Else all we have said becomes null and void. Paul. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. God, verse 9, as is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, neither entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. No matter what Peter, James, and John saw, were he blinded. But God, hence the crucifixion of Jesus was still a done deal. God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit started all things. Hear the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. But now we have received the Spirit of, not the Spirit of the world, by the Spirit of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yea, he himself is judge of no man. He who hath known the man of the Lord, that he may instruct him. We have the understanding of Christ. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. Eyes has not seen, but he heard, but entered into the mind of man. It's revelation of the word with the person of Jesus. Ephesians 3. Taught this some years back. The revelations of God. Enjoyed it so much. We have different levels of revelation. Ephesians 3. For this cause was one, I Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, for I heard so the grace of God which is given me to you word. People have the opinion that Paul sat in one room and Jesus will come in every morning and he will sit him down, appear, and Paul will not eat throughout the day. He'll be pouring revelations. Second day, third day, fourth day. Only carnal men think like that. Paul's revelation was from the scriptures. The highest type. Hallelujah. Now that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery which I wrote before in few words. Can you imagine what he called few words? Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So what you read and renews your mind, the scriptures is the highest form of revelation. This douses the tension of esotericism, secret knowledge, some things some people know, lots of men of God, Pastor or Papa Kenneth Hagin, man I will be indebted to for the rest of my life. But you see, people have oftentimes been carried away by the man's numerous visions, which like John's encounter in the Isle of Patmos, need to be brought down to the earth. Then put side by side with revealed scriptures and take away the A. Someone asked me, the book of Revelation, can we build doctrine on it? Of course not. Some things there you don't even have to read. So I say, sir, yes now. Don't leave it alone. Talk about the beast coming down. What's your revelation of the last day's event? What if you die before then? Those who read it 1,000 years ago, it made no sense to them at the end of the day. No edification, no comfort, no exhortation. Just symbols. Clashing with symbols, fighting symbols. Go to the epistles and read the knowledge of God. Then, you function with the highest honor. You got something out of that? Stand your feet, give God praise. Thank you.